In our study of the book of Revelation, we've come to chapter 16, which deals with the seven last plagues upon Great Babylon. These seven last plagues, which complete the wrath of God, are symbolized by seven vials, which are, in turn, to be emptied upon the final beast empire nations. Before we study these seven last plagues in detail, to identify which events in history they symbolize, let's try to identify the Babylonian beast system itself, which has brought upon itself these plagues. Until we know the people whom God has identified as his enemies, we cannot know where to look for the fulfillment of these plagues. Therefore, for the present, we will skip over the first 17 verses of chapter 16. This final beast empire is repeatedly named Great Babylon. We know that it is not now the old Babylonia in the Euphrates Valley, for that has fallen many, many centuries ago. The evils of the ancient Babylonian system exist today, spread among many of today's nations, even our own nation for that matter. Unless God means to condemn all races and nations equally, there must be some wicked element to be found among them, which is the infection which has made the nations morally sick and which must be removed. To find what we are dealing with, we must start with Revelation 16, verses 17 to 19, and then go on into chapter 18. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nation fell. And great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Now what's meant by this? Voices and thunders and lightnings. Obviously, these are great contentions between opposing factions. What other age has ever been marked by such quarrels between these bitterly opposing groups? Then a great earthquake. This being symbolic rather than literal, it means terrific social upheaval, worldwide wars and revolutions, overthrowing nations and social orders. The great city was divided into three parts. I found no authoritative interpretation of this by anyone else. In my own view, I would say this means that we are now dealing with the economic, the religious, and the political phases of the Babylonian system. And it says that the cities of the nations fell, showing there will be a great international struggle of war and revolution. Now, all previous things in the Bible are there because they were important, not just for the moment of their own happening, but because their importance, that is, the importance of the principles involved, carries down undiminished into our own day. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11, we are told, "Now all these things happen to them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the age are come." Now obviously that applies to us with far greater force than at any time previous in all history. The things going on today, which puzzle us and depress us so, really show that we are undergoing the experience of good and evil for which Adam bargained away his immortality. The good is found in God's admonitions to us, his laws to govern our lives. But we are having to learn that mere good intentions are not enough if they are not directed by knowledge and wisdom, because many terribly evil things have been done with good intentions. In Proverbs, both chapter 14, verse 12, and chapter 16, verse 25, it says, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." So, these warnings in the Bible are to enable us to avoid the terrific evil which will destroy us in our own day if we do not take steps to avoid it. What is evil anyway? Evil is not something that can exist all by itself. It is not a condition merely. It is an action or a series of actions. It is the things that evil men do. Hence the many warnings to us, telling us who these evil ones are, were given so we can avoid them and their works. Whether you recognize Satan as a person, as the Bible does, or whether you merely try to explain him away as just a personification of evil tendencies, you must still recognize that evil comes from those who are his followers. And indeed, the Bible says, they are his children. The Bible gives us some examples in ancient times of satanic action. One of the most important ancient cities was Tyre. It was a Palestinian seaport. It was one of the leading trading centers of the ancient world. Many of its inhabitants were a Semitic people. There were even a few Israelites scattered among them. The nation was friendly to Israel. Its king Hiram, you will remember, sent to Solomon much of the materials and some of the skilled workmen to build Solomon's temple. And we have no record of there being any wars between Tyre and Israel. But the Bible shows that Tyre came into the satanic system, and that one of the kings of Tyre, whose name is not stated, was actually Satan himself incarnated in human form. Writing about 528 B.C., in the 28th chapter of Ezekiel, the prophet is told this, "Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyre, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sun, full of wisdom, and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created until iniquity was found in thee. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. But I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee." Now this language could not have been used of any merely earthly king. In other words, whoever this king was, he was necessarily an incarnation of Satan himself. Under satanic direction, Tyre became a great merchant city. Ezekiel 27, verse 13 says, "Take up over Tyre a dirge, and thou shalt say unto Tyre, O thou that dwellest by the entrance of the sea, thou merchant of the peoples unto many shores." Its extensive trade with Israel and Judah, with the Isles of Tarshish, with Egypt, Syria, Arabia, Assyria, and even Tubal and Meshach, who are in Russia, are set forth in considerable detail in the 27th chapter of Ezekiel. However, as so often happens, its commerce became evil. In the 28th chapter of Ezekiel, we are told, "With thy wisdom and with thine understanding, thou hast gotten thee riches, and hast gotten gold and silver into thy treasures. By thy great wisdom and by thy traffic hast thou increased thy riches, and thy heart is lifted up because of thy riches. By the multitude of thy merchandise have they filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic, Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. Now who were these evil merchants? The very word which is translated merchant is the Hebrew word kenon, which also means a Canaanite. That is, the very same hook-nosed people whom today we call Jews. For example, Hosea 12, verse 7. He is a merchant. The balances of deceit are in his hand. He loveth to oppress. Now, in those days, remember that of the goods that were sold, you had nothing packaged in standard weights. And at that time, neither did you have coined money of universally accepted value. The goods sold had to be weighed out in the proper amount upon the balances, and likewise, the gold or silver paid for them, not being in coined money but in ingots, had to be weighed out to see what the money was worth. It was quite common in those days for the merchant to have two different sets of weights. One with which he would buy, one with which he would sell. So you note here, this Kenon, this Canaanite merchant, has the balances of deceit, the false weights and measures, which he uses to cheat his customers. In Zephaniah 1, verses 11, again we are told, "Howl, ye inhabitants of Maktesh." Now, Maktesh was the bazaar district of Jerusalem, where all the little retail stores were. And you know, of course, who were these merchants. "Howl, ye inhabitants of Maktesh, for all the merchant people are cut down. All they that are laden with silver are cut off." And here again, these merchant people were the same Kenon, the Canaanites. Now, you remember that when the people of Israel were on the march in the Exodus, before they were allowed to enter the promised land, they were instructed by God that they must absolutely exterminate the Canaanites living there, not leave one man, woman, or child alive, because God warned them, if you allow them to live among you, you will have integration. Your children will grow up with their children. They will learn their ways. They will intermarry with their children until you will become as corrupted as these Canaanites, until finally I have to destroy you as I am telling you now to destroy them. But you find the melancholy record in the book of Judges of how city after city was not destroyed. It tells that they took the city and they put the inhabitants under a tribute tax, but they allowed them to live there among the people of Israel, until finally it says that God sent an angel to them with the message that because they had disobeyed him in this regard, he would no longer drive out the enemy before them. If they wanted to leave these Canaanite peoples living among them, then so would he, and it would be a test. Could they, with Canaanites among them to set a bad example, could they live up to the laws of God? And of course, if they did not, they must bear the judgment for so doing. Zechariah 14, verse 21, looking on to the future when the kingdom of God comes into being in the millennium, says then, "And in that day there shall be no more the Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts." Well, you find these same people also in Assyria. The Assyrian royal palaces were built with thick walls of sun-baked clay brick, like the adobe houses of our own American Southwest and Mexico. But the inside walls were covered with very beautiful painted and glazed tile with very lovely decorations upon it. And on these decorations in their palaces, done by their own best artists, you see their pictures of these Assyrians. Now, this is not their enemy's caricature of them. This is the Assyrians' own representation of their own people. And it shows them as typical hook-nosed Jews. So the same commercial evils, we are told, spread to Assyria. In Nahum 3, verse 16, the prophet says of them, "Thou hast multiplied thy merchants above the stars of heaven." And Nahum lists this as among the evils for which Nineveh would be destroyed. Now in the city of Tyre, these Canaanite Jewish merchants had become the most powerful men of the nation, even as they are today the most powerful men in the chief Israel nations of Britain and the United States. Writing about 715 to 712 B.C., Isaiah 23, verse 8 says, "Who hath taken this counsel against Tyre, the crowning city, whose merchants are princes, whose traffickers are the honorable of the earth? I have done this because the final fall of Tyre is described in language so identical with that used in the book of Revelation to describe the fall of Great Babylon as to show that in both places it is talking about the same thing." Now let's compare these. For example, Ezekiel 26, verse 13, speaking of Tyre, "And I will cause the noise of thy songs to cease, and the sound of thy harp shall be no more heard." Revelation 18, verse 22, speaking of Babylon, "And the voice of harpers and musicians, and of pipers and trumpeters, shall be heard no more at all in thee." Ezekiel 26, verse 21, speaking of the fall of Tyre, "I will make thee a terror, and thou shalt be no more. Though thou be sought for, yet shalt thou never be found again, saith the Lord God." Revelation 18, verse 21, speaking of Great Babylon, "And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone, and cast it into the sea, saying, Thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down, and shall be found no more at all." In the 27th chapter of Ezekiel, verses 29 to 33, speaking of Tyre, "And all that handle the oar, the mariners, and all the pilots of the sea, shall come down from their ships, they shall stand upon the land, and shall cry bitterly, and shall cast up dust upon their heads, they shall wallow themselves in the ashes, and in their wailing they shall take up a lamentation for thee, and lament over thee, saying, What city is like Tyre, the destroyed in the midst of the sea? When thy wares went forth out of the seas, thou didst fill many people. Thou didst enrich the kings of the earth with the multitude of thy riches and of thy merchandise. In the time when thou shalt be broken by the seas in the depths of the waters, thy merchandise and all thy company in the midst of thee shall fall." And Revelation 18, verses 17 to 19, speaking of Great Babylon, "And every shipmaster, and all the company in ships, and sailors, and as many as trade by sea, stood afar off, and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, What city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, Alas, alas, that great city, wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea, by reason of her costliness. For in one hour is she made desolate." So you can see, by the fact that the judgments pronounced and the circumstances of them are the same, often in exactly the same words, that the Bible really is talking about two events. Now, these merchants of wickedness being Canaanite Jews, we should expect to find some more about this in what the Bible says about the Edomite Jews. Their principal national center, you remember, was down in Edom in Mount Seir, southeast of the Dead Sea. Their great capital city there was the city of Petra, C situated in a small valley in the interior of this mountain range, and its larger buildings carved into the cliffs that rip the valley. The fall of Edom is described in the Bible in identical language with the fall of Great Babylon. The 49th chapter of Jeremiah deals with the overthrow of Edom, and the 50th chapter of Jeremiah deals with the overthrow of Babylon. Now note the similarity of language. Chapter 49, verse 18 and verse 19. As in the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah and the neighbor cities thereof, saith Yahweh, no man shall abide there, neither shall a son of man dwell in it. Behold, he shall come up like a lion from the swelling of Jordan against the habitation of the strong, but I will suddenly make him run away from her. And who is a chosen man that I may appoint over her? For who is like me? And who will appoint me the time? And who is that shepherd who will stand before me? Now Jeremiah chapter 50, verses 40 and following, dealing with Babylon, and note the identity of the peculiar language used. As God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah and the neighbor cities thereof, saith Yahweh, so shall no man abide there, neither shall any son of man dwell therein. Behold, a people shall come from the north, and a great nation, and many kings shall be raised up from the coasts of the earth. The king of Babylon hath heard the report of them, and his hands waxed feeble. Anguish took hold of him, and pangs as of a woman in travail. Behold, he shall come up like a lion from the swelling of Jordan unto the habitation of the strong. But I will make them suddenly run away from her. And who is a chosen man that I may appoint over her? For who is like me? And who will appoint me the time? And who is that shepherd that will stand before me? Now going back to Jeremiah chapter 14, speaking of Edom, verses 20 and 21. Therefore hear the counsel of the Lord that he hath against Edom, and his purposes that he hath purposed against the inhabitants of Teman. Surely the least of the flock shall draw them out. Surely he shall make their habitations desolate with them. The earth is moved at the noise of their fall. At the cry, the noise thereof was heard in the Red Sea. Now Jeremiah 50, verses 45 and 46, dealing with Babylon. Therefore, hear ye the counsel of Yahweh that he hath taken against Babylon, and his purposes that he hath purposed against the land of the Chaldeans. Surely the least of the flock shall draw them out. Surely he shall make their habitation desolate with them. At the noise of the taking of Babylon, the earth is moved, and the cry is heard among the nations. So this is clearly talking about the same thing. The fall of Great Babylon and the fall of the Edomite Jews are the same thing. Now listen again to the principal blame placed upon the Canaanite Jew merchants for the evils of Babylon. And now we're in the 18th chapter of the book of Revelation. And after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Now that repetition of fallen is not done merely for rhetorical effect. It is calling to your attention the fact that there are two falls of Babylon being discussed. One, the fall of the ancient city of Babylon many, many centuries ago, and the other, the final fall of the surviving Babylonian system, which is a thing just beginning to occur. It goes on, for all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. Now, for those people who like to blame everything upon the Catholic Church, here is a clear warning that that would be misinterpretation here. Not that I am defending the Catholic Church, because it has plenty to answer for. But this is not the Catholic Church, this evil spoken of here. It says, all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And we know perfectly well that most of the nations of the earth have had nothing to do with Catholicism or the Catholic Church. The Latin nations of Europe and the peoples of Mexico, South and Central America, are the only ones who have come under the rule of the Catholic Church. Again, the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies, but the Catholic Church neither buys nor sells these delicacies which the merchants of the earth grow rich upon. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. Here is a great and terrible warning to us, and one that we have not heeded. It has been impressed upon me greatly when I examine the conditions we find today that we have allowed our entire civilization to become so interwoven with and so corrupted by this Babylonian system that I don't see any possible way that we can extricate it from the fall of Babylon so that we will not be pulled down with it. But somehow we must do so, whatever the price we have to pay. We must get out of this system, lest we be dragged down to the total destruction it is going to have. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her, even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. Now here is good Israel law in the New Testament, and speaking of the end of this age and the beginning of the millennium. Under Israel law, a thief was always required to restore at least double what he had stolen. In some instances, he might have to give back even four or five times, but never could he get off with a lighter penalty than having to restore double the amount he had stolen. Now going on, speaking of Great Babylon, it says, and the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. Now note this, and see if you can identify the people this is speaking of. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls. All right, look about you in all your great cities today. Who is it that practically monopolizes the jewelry trade? And fine linen, and purple, and silk, and scarlet, and all aromatic wood, and all manner vessels of ivory, and all manner vessels of most precious wood, and of brass, and iron, and marble.